All right, welcome to the Take the Shot podcast. I'm Nick.
And I'm Alec.
And today we'll be doing a little draft coverage.
It's draft week. Let's fucking go. One of the best weeks of the year. You know why, Nick?
Well, technically next week's draft week.
No, it's Thursday. We're a week out. But you're right. Get away. But you know why it's one of the best weeks, Nick?
Why?
Hope. Hope that your shit team becomes good over a player that you have no idea is going to be good or not. No matter what the scouts say, no matter what I say, no matter what the coaches say, the GMs say, we don't know if these motherfuckers are going to be good, but we can all hope, and that's something everybody can relate to.
You'll probably be surprised by this, but the draft is one night I actually like really like, just because it's like always just good vibes. Like, they never actually point out like any player that may like bust or.
Well, it's good vibes unless your team drafts something you don't want, and then your night's ruined because it's like, fuck you guys. You guys ruined the one night of hope. That
yeah, I don't really care about that. But
well, that's because you don't have a set team.
Yeah.
If you have a set team,
I'm just here for the vibes.
If you have a set team and all of a sudden your team drafts Mitch Trubisky instead of the nasty man at this time, as we know, the nasty man was a good man, but. If your team drafts Mitch Trubisky over the nasty man, or I think there was somebody else in that draft too as well that they drafted him over, that also was good. And then
Mahomes.
Oh yeah, Mahomes, but
Mahomes was a little bit more of a long shot.
Yeah, I don't get on them for that. Like,
yeah, Deshaun was more. I feel like it was more of an injury thing with him because I think he had two ACLs.
He was also like
two ACLs in college, or if it was like one in high school, one in college, but I'm pretty sure he had like two ACL surgeries.
His arm strength wasn't that good either coming out, and obviously he does have some problems that are related to injuries and the fact
he was a baller and beat the shit out of Alabama.
That is true. That's
why I say about a lot of QBs.
That's why I wanted him. I was also weirdly a Clemson fan back then. I liked Clemson. Now I don't. Now I can't stand them.
Yeah, that was also, that was right when like Clemson was coming up. Like people didn't really have like expectations for him.
Yeah, but, now they do. And now, guys, I'm telling you right now, do not fall for the Cade Klubnik bullshit we're gonna have to hear next year. That guy sucks. I don't care what he does next year. I don't care if he comes out.
Suck, but he's decent. He's decent.
Awful.
He's not awful.
Awful.
He's better than that. Garbage. Dude in Miami.
You know what that guy? You know what that guy screams?
Wait, he's the dude in Miami. What's his face? See, I can't remember his name because he's so
Carson Beck. You just don't like him. You just don't like him because he goes to Miami and he dates a Cavender's line. That's why you don't like him.
No,
he's all right.
He was all right.
If you actually watched Georgia games and saw what his receivers did last year and dropped every fucking ball he threw him, he would have been a little bit better in a better situation. I know that sounds bad because he's at Georgia with all the good athletes, but those wide receivers sucked last year.
Cade Klubnik's good.
No.
He's solid.
No. That guy's... Carson
Beck's okay, but Cade Klubnik isn't?
Yes. I will have that opinion. All right, yes.
Well.
I will ride with Carson Beck, the school shooter. Oh, I can't make that joke today. Nope, go back.
We're leaving it in.
We can't make
light of that shooter,
today.
Carson Beck.
Don't shout out that. Prayers for FSU. I don't know if you saw that, but FSU had a school shooting.
That's what I was saying. I can't really look into that.
Well, that's the problem with this world, right? We see bad headlines, but we don't click on them because we're too depressed.
Well, the problem is school shootings are just too common in this country. It's like, oh, school shooting.
Yeah.
Another one.
Yeah. Gun control. Figure it out.
That's never going to happen.
I don't care.
That's
my take.
That point.
We can stick to sports after this, but gun control, figure it out. We need it.
Again,
but
we're too far gone.
But, Nick, it's draft week.
I understand.
It's about hope. Don't be realistic. Gun control can happen, okay?
Yes.
But Cade Klubnik, don't fall for that bullshit. That guy screams.
Oh,
that guy.
Oh, so now you want to go all negative?
Can I finish my take before you interrupt me, please? That guy screams. Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback. They overdraft.
Well,
tell me he doesn't.
Pittsburgh is probably drafting QB this year, so he probably won't get drafted next year.
Not if Aaron Rodgers. Well, I guess Aaron Rodgers did have an interview on McAfee today that I did not watch because I don't support either of those two losers. But apparently he said a lot without saying anything, which is the typical Aaron Rodgers thing to do. Just get the attention.
Well, I heard he's having a show in Pittsburgh Wednesday before the draft, so I don't know if he might do it then or if. He might just wait till after the draft to make sure they don't draft. Oh, I don't know. I feel like he's probably trying to get, like, not Kirk Cousins.
Maybe. But also, if you don't...
Because didn't Kirk Cousins also say that he's not willing to, like, accept a trade anywhere until he sees, like, where the draft shakes out, so you make sure he's not playing behind another rookie QB that might take his job again.
Yeah, but that's different.
Yeah.
If Aaron Rodgers, like, you can have an agreement. The Bears signed Mike Glennon and then drafted Mitch Trubisky. Obviously, that's different.
Okay, but it's fucking Mike Glennon. Like, he's looking at how I know, Nick,
but you can also have a mentor. You don't have to start these rookie quarterbacks right away, especially Cam Ward's old. So yeah, you want to start Cam Ward.
The thing is, Kirk Cousins did not think that they would start Penix over him. But
I know, but this is where you just lay it out as a GM. You don't lie to people. You say, hey, it's going to be a competition. If Omar Khan, the Steelers GM, drafts Jackson Dart, and Aaron Rodgers, a 40-year-old Hall of Famer, is scared of competing with Jackson Dart, that's an Aaron Rodgers problem. That means he should retire right off the bat. If you don't look at that as a challenge to light a fire under your ass and actually go out and perform one more year, because if you think about it, Aaron Rodgers at this stage of his career, it's 1 year every year. He's not going to get a long-term deal. So it's like a different situation. If it was like Kyler Murray, I could get it because Kyler probably wants a long-term deal. Aaron Rodgers is 1 year.
Fair enough.
But why are we talking about the Steelers and Aaron Rodgers? It's draft week.
Yeah, I don't know.
By the way, guys, if we get interrupted, that's because we're getting blown away by a tornado. So if you hear a siren in the background, just know we grinded through a storm for you guys because we care about the audience.
To everyone who is listening.
Yes. Nick.
All right.
Give me your running back. Nick told me before the show.
Want me to start my running back tag?
Yes, but one more thing before we get on the draft. I know you have some NBA takes later, but I just want to reinforce my belief that the 76ers did the right thing by paying Joel Embiid. I was right. You were wrong.
I talked to Alec, and he agreed with me. He's also probably the worst person to ask because he's never going to take Joel Embiid's side.
Alec is a Heat fan.
I'm aware.
Has problems in itself because he believed in Duncan Robinson, okay? If you believe in Duncan Robinson and you're not Duncan Robinson's mom or dad.
I believed in Duncan Robinson. The price was a little hefty for me, but the problem is he'll go off for a while. I don't know. He's just too random. He's too inconsistent. But like he'll have times where he'll like make like 7 threes.
Joel Embiid was an MVP. He deserved to be paid.
Okay, we're not talking about that DEI MVP.
Oh my god. Okay, we got it. I don't know why I brought this up. It's gonna start pissing me off again.
Tell me your
running back take so I can get pissed off about something else.
All right. I'm just gonna say. I'll say, Ashton Jeancey, and Omarion Hamilton will be two of the five best players in this draft, hands down. After their careers are all said and done. And I'm going to say, the nerds have gone too far with running backs. As my boy Marshawn Lynch said, run through a motherfucker's face over and 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 over again. And I feel like that's one thing that the nerds just don't factor in because they never put on the pads and actually got hit. And to be fair, I never put on the pads and got hit, but I already knew that if I did, I would get killed. And that does, in fact, that does impact people, which, again, football is a mental game. And even as Ashton Jeancey said, it's tackle football. Draft him because he's the one guy that people can't tackle. So draft him.
So
if you can't tackle him, it does something to you.
So here's my thing. It's a broader take than just Ashton Jeancey, Omarion Hamilton, Trayvon Henderson.
I'm just saying, we've gone too far with the running back slander. It's like,
Here's my take, though. I think the people doing the running backs, having that take that you have, they're stuck in like 3 years ago. Because now the pendulum is swinging back Lions.
It's swinging back because everyone has played the pass, so
yeah, that's exactly,
linebackers are getting lighter. Like,
exactly. That's exactly like what these, I was going to say.
Like these strong, like fast running backs, they really can like take off because they don't have like those big linebackers to worry about. Like it's easier for them to break those tackles.
True. But if you're a GM, you're not – if you're in a win-now situation – okay, so I'm going to use the Raiders, right?
Yes.
We both agree the Raiders aren't in a win-now situation, right?
The Raiders kind of are in a win-now situation, though.
The Raiders are. Raiders think they are. They're not.
They're old. They're in a try to compete. They're not. Okay. It depends on what you define as win now.
Okay.
They're not like win the Super Bowl now, but they're in a they're trying to compete right now.
Give me a team that says rebuilding. Okay. Here's let me use the Titans. Titans are not on win now, right? They're going to take Cam Ward or another quarterback. I think they're taking Cam Ward. I think everybody knows this. But say they were at pick 4 or pick 6 like the Raiders. Say they switch spots.
Or why do the Patriots? They're at pick 4.
Okay. Say they switch spots. If you're a GM and you don't have this set 3-year window where, hey, you're on the rookie quarterback scale, you have to build, you have all these holes filled, and you want to build for the next 3 to 5 years, because that's what the draft pick is, the top 10 pick is, right? They're trying to build their team and have their core for the next 3 to 5 years. Would you take a running back that high?
Why not build around the running back? Build the line, and then because
you've seen other things, like look at Leonard Fournette.
Yes.
Was he worth it? And don't just say because it's the Jaguars, because like all these teams up at the top of the draft suck.
Yeah.
They're going to be like the Jaguars.
And the thing is, his thing was injuries, but I feel like if it wasn't for the injuries, he would have worked out though.
But that's the risk of running back.
Oh yeah. Well, that's the risk of any player though. That's the risk of any player.
That's not the main point of my take though. Like you said, the pendulum is swinging back towards the running back's favor, but the league always adapts. That the reason everybody was focused on the past was because Pat Mahomes was just dominating teams throwing deep to Tyreek Hill. So they moved the safety high, they put a lighter linebackers in the box so they could cover, and now people want to just run it down your throat. But once teams readjust to that, it's going to swing back to the past. And we don't know when that's going to be. So if you want to plan, if you want to have a top 10 pick, and
to be fair, with all these nerds in the front office, I don't think that's swinging back anytime soon. I feel like it's literally like the NBA with threes. Like, it's not swinging back.
No, there's always cycles.
If you have
the Eagles run the ball down your throat. If they keep winning.
There's a few teams like that, like the Rams, the 49ers,
but I'm
Ravens.
I'm saying if they keep winning that same way, if the Eagles find a Saquon replacement once Saquon fizzles out, and keep running the same game plan, teams are going to game plan around that to try to stop that. They're the bar. So teams are going to game plan to beat the bar.
Yeah.
So in 3 years, maybe running backs decrease in value again. Now, I'm with you that running backs have a place, even if they don't, because it's bullshit they get paid so little.
I'm just saying the running back slander has gone too far.
But I feel like that was a take of two years ago. Now it's like, oh, people see why the Lions drafted Jahmyr Gibbs 6th.
Bro, people killed that pick.
Well, now in retrospect, they don't. If you did that,
I saw the Lions did a good job. Yeah, let me just hop back on this.
No. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying people like that pick now, and now people have the Raiders taking Ashton.
I didn't mind that pick back then. I was like, fuck it, draft a running back.
But Nick, I'm saying people have the Raiders drafting Ashton Jinton now. People have the Bears drafting him in top 10. So now people are like, it's swinging back. So all the running back slander
is
kind
of swinging back. It's not really swinging back, though.
You're not going to hear – you're going to have some people still in the camp of, hey, running backs don't matter that much. But then if the Bears draft him, you're going to have, oh, look what Ben Johnson did with David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs. Now he can do that with DeAndre.
David Montgomery's mid as fuck.
Now he can do that with DeAndre Swift and – who's also mid as fuck. But now he can do that with DeAndre Swift and Ashton Jenkins. DeAndre Swift or Marion Hampton. It's like now people want to do that. So it swings back and forth.
We'll see. I feel like it hasn't swung back.
I don't know who you're reading, because all the mock drafts I've read have running backs top 10, and people are just whatever.
No.
All the mock drafts I have more than one running back.
I know Ashton Jenkins going top 10, but I'm just saying for the overall like running back view, I don't think
this year, and this may be because it's a weak draft.
Yeah, I feel like it's because it's a weaker draft. But let's say Ashton Jeffy was like in last year's draft, no one would be talking about him going top 10.
Well, that's because there was also 4 quarterbacks going in the top 10, and I think 5 total in the first round. And now it's like,
and to be fair, we never really saw the 4th one going in the top 10.
True, but like you still had those 3 that were going to dominate.
Yeah,
there, and like you have 2, but Cam Ward is a stretch as the first overall pick. I'm sorry, but he's not.
I guess what I've seen is people said that Cam Ward would probably, if he went out last year, he would have been like the 4th or 5th quarterback.
It would be between him and J.J. McCarthy, and that's like a battle.
Oh, wait, was it? Was J.J. last year?
Yeah.
So, what? Oh, fuck, was there six quarterbacks?
It was Caleb, Drake. Oh, yeah, there was. Because
so, yeah, because yeah,
I forgot about
J.J. because yeah. He didn't play.
Yeah, so he would have been like the fourth or fifth or sixth quarterback. And yeah. That's like...
Yeah, he would have been around the Penix like J.J. range, yeah.
That says a lot. And I don't think he's a top... He's like one of the quarterbacks that inflates because people like quarterbacks. And the Titans, even though they suck and they're probably going to be back in the top 10 next year, there's no promises they'll have the assets or the ability to pick a quarterback as good as Cam Ward next year, so they have to.
Oh, yeah. Apparently, Cam Ward is actually on a stream, and I'm just reading this off Underdog side. He said, if he's willing to list Treylon Burks as one of the best wide receivers in the NFL while live streaming, then we can all but lock Ward into playing for the Titans. A lie that poll shows his loyalty to the organization.
He knows what he's doing.
It's just he was on a live stream, like, and like, last they were year. Asked his top four wide receivers. He said, J.J., J.J., Calvin Ridley, Burks, and Jamar.
It's just like Caleb last year. I mean, he's been asked all these pre-draft questions. You always have media before the draft, and he was like, who are your best receivers in the league? And
not media. He was just on a live stream just fucking around.
Well, I mean, still. He's not going to be like, oh. He's not going to go there and shit on Treylon Burks to the Titans. It's like last year Caleb Williams was like, oh, Keenan Allen. I love him. Shout out to a legend. I can't wait to play
with him. Shout out to that old ass motherfucker.
Yeah, but that's what you get as a quarterback. That's like, he knows where he's going. He's one of the rare. There's probably two players who know where they're going. The first overall pick and whoever the hell is going second. And that's about it. So it's probably Cam, and Travis probably knows he's going to.
I was
going to
say, well, and why don't we pivot into that second
pick? If it's not Travis, it's Abdul Carter.
Yeah.
So.
Well, right now, most mock drafts that I've seen, they kind of have Travis Hunter going to the Browns, but they also have him going to the Browns mainly as a wide receiver, corner second.
Which is dumb, in my opinion.
He's a better corner than receiver. Because he's a good receiver. It depends on what you need. I feel like it's different for different teams. If you need him at receiver, play him at receiver, and then he can play packages at corner.
Okay, but here's my deal:
play him at corner.
You're gonna waste one of his prime years throwing the ball to him with Kenny Pickett or Joe Flacco.
Listen, your needs are your needs, but
if you have a person who could be a potential,
hey, maybe. But I'm just saying, throw him out there for a year. Maybe they might find out. Yeah, he's way better at corner than he is receiver. Maybe we'll just play him mostly at corner and then just do like receiver packages for him.
But
we won't know until we actually see him play.
It would probably stunt his development though.
Hey.
If he wants to
he's already an unusual player. We can't put a normal We can't put like a normal development curve on him. Like this is basically like an experiment that we haven't seen before. So,
and honestly,
we just got to play it out and see how it works.
If it fails,
hey, fuck it, you gave it a shot.
There you go. Plug the podcast. Please like, subscribe, and review to the Take the Shot podcast.
Hey, but that's what we're about. You gotta take the shot. You can't be a pussy. You got to fucking take the shot.
Yes, but I think the best shot, in my opinion, is to put him at corner and then have a small package to play a wide receiver. It's harder to
play. I'm just saying.
It's harder for people to play.
I'm also saying you don't know for sure until he gets out there on the field.
Okay.
So why not see him on both sides?
Well, I'm not saying you have to put him at one or the other. I'm saying start him at corner. Play him the most at corner and then put a small package in on offense.
But they also need the receiver. They need the receiver help more.
Nick,
I'm just saying.
You don't play four receivers every play. So he can you can pick and choose what plays you play him on the receiver. So you have a package. On defense, you're more than likely playing all like the same three corners. Maybe one moves to nickel. Maybe one moves around side to side if he's really good. But you're playing the same three, four corners every single play.
Yeah.
If you play offense, maybe sometimes there's two tight ends, one less receiver, two running backs, one less receiver. So you can pick and choose more on offense how to limit snap count. So I think it's easier that way.
Maybe easier, but well, hey, it's the Browns' decision. We'll see what they want to do with it.
And also, I wouldn't waste this year on Kenny Pickett and Joe Flacco. That seems like a way to get your receiver killed.
They also could be they could also trade back up and get another QB. It's possible.
You want to waste his year on rookie Jackson Dart? Go ahead.
I'm just saying it's a possibility.
Would you rather?
Well, but the thing is, if they get like a Jackson Dart or Shadur, they may not start him right away. They would probably wait till either next year or at least like later in the season, like halfway the season.
I'd rather trade for Anthony Richardson, to be honest with you. And that guy's not good.
Well, the thing is, he's a tank, but he also gets injured, so he can't even be like Cam.
Yeah. But if I was them, I'd actually go with Abdul Carter. Just rush the fucking shit out of the passers, because Abdul Carter is real good. And if he didn't have that foot injury, he'd be going probably number one overall, I think, in my opinion. Even if the Titans fell in love with Cam Ward, even because they have no quarterback and they'd be playing Will Levis instead, Abdul Carter, I think, he's special.
Well, he's projected to go number three to the Giants.
Yeah, the Giants are the Wizards of the NFL with better PR. I don't like the Giants at all. I think they make bad decisions.
I thought you said the Titans were the Wizards of the NFL.
No, well, shout out the other Alec. He made a good point. They have some stretches where they're pretty good, so they're like the Hawks of the NFL.
Okay. All right, so give us your Abdul Carter. So you think he'll go, if it wasn't for the foot injury, he would have got number one?
Yeah, I think he's special. I've seen him play a lot more than the other prospects, obviously, because he's a Big Ten player, and that's what dominates my life on Saturdays in the fall. But he can drop in coverage. He can rush the fucking shit out of the passer.
People have compared him to Micah Parsons.
Yeah, he's really good. Yeah. And it's not – I know it's the Penn State comparison that makes people do that more.
Yeah, I figured it's probably
but
a lot of his probably
he's really, really good. And also, Penn State has another one growing in the back, but I don't know his name. But he may be even better than Abdul Carter, so watch out next year.
Okay. Well, I guess since we kind of started with receivers, this mock draft I'm looking at actually has the Raiders drafting T-Mac. That's Teterora McMillan at number six.
What do you think about him?
That early, but to be fair, haven't really watched a lot of him, if any. I just know he is big and will go and get. He kind of sounds like DeAndre Hopkins light, like basically your QB can throw up a 50-50 ball, but for him it's not really a 50-50 ball. It's more like a 70-30 ball, 80-20 ball for him.
I am not one of these people who in job interviews in real life, not NFL, if they say one bad answer, it's like write them off for good. If you're getting interviewed during draft prep, no, I don't care if it's on a stream. I don't care if it's official media. I don't care if it's a team-related thing. And you say, yeah, I don't really watch film. Film is boring. And you're an NFL prospect.
Shout out Kyler Murray.
That's a red flag. He's off my board. You gotta be committed. First of all, it's not because you don't watch film. It's your decision-making to actually say that shit out loud. That means you're stupid. Why would you – what is the – gain of you saying that out loud?
Did not know that he said that, but
yeah, he said that. He was on like a stream, I think, and he's like, yeah, I don't really watch film, it's boring, football doesn't, it's not, it doesn't interest me, I like to go and catch the ball.
And fair.
I'm like, dude, that is fair,
but that's the point of the draft process, is to find that stuff out, to make sure that,
yeah, like, but if you say that, red flag, yeah, across, exactly, the board, because your decision making is awful.
No, yeah,
I don't care if you're the best,
and that's fine. Like, I fully agree with that. If you're not gonna take it seriously, why should we invest?
I mean, honestly,
many million in
if you? He didn't say that, and I knew he didn't watch film, I'd be like, I'll still take the gamble on him. He can show up on Saturdays. He's really good. But since he said that shit out loud, red flag, decision making. He needs to know what to say, when to say it. He needs to know his surroundings. It's just too much goes into saying that on a stream, where you're just not thinking of the consequences during draft prep. It's one thing to say it if you're like a sophomore in college. And it's like before the season, and you don't really, there's no consequences of it.
Yeah.
You know, this is like the most important, if you're a first round pick, this is like the most important time to lock in and get in the best shape possible.
But not everyone is locked in.
That's the thing. If you're not in this period, you're not going to be games week seven on a shit team in 2 years.
There is a chance that that can change while he's in the NFL, but that is risky to bet on that because a lot of times that stuff.
Then you have to go to a player. You have to go to a team with a good foundation. That's it. That's a keck. I mean, you see it all the time.
Don't know if the Raiders will be that.
That's what I'm saying. If you put him, I don't really know a top 10 team.
I know a lot of another place he's really been projected to is the Dallas Cowboys. I don't know if that would also be.
I mean, they got Matt Eberflus on their team as defensive coordinator. They don't have any accountability in that building.
Okay. Well, right. You're just.
And I know he doesn't. Well, he won't. It's a good thing he won't be talking to any red receivers because that man knows nothing about offensive football. But the fact they hired him after the fiasco he caused to my organization, no.
He turned that defense around, though.
Yeah, he
that's
did.
That's why they kept him. That's why they kept him.
He was dumber than a bag of rocks when he saw numbers in the sky on the clock. He just turned into a pumpkin.
Oh, yeah, God. I don't know. I forget. During the Thanksgiving game, was he saying that he was counting on Caleb Williams to call that timeout or something?
No. Well, he kind of threw him under the bus.
Yeah,
but
I felt like I kind of remember him saying something about, like, oh, I thought Caleb would do it or some shit.
Yeah, but they didn't give him. They specifically told him beginning of the year, the coach, you're a rookie quarterback. That's not on you. The coach calls timeouts. And if you say that to him.
But the thing
but
is.
But then Caleb also. Yeah. He was kind of that young, petty-ass person where he was like, man, fuck this guy already. I'm not bailing him out for this. He's got to go. So he kind of knew in the back of his mind. I think it was probably fast. It's one of those things where it's like there's 30 seconds on the clock in the moment.
Yeah.
In real life, that's 30 seconds. That probably felt like 10 seconds to the players on the field.
Yeah.
Because it just moves fast. But I don't know. They made that man cry after games, man. They broke his heart. So fuck
Matt. Can't really say that's all on the Bears, but I will leave the rest of my take out to
myself.
Most
of it is Matt Eberflus's fault. But why? I don't want to talk about this guy. This guy, he crushes hope.
Well, you're the one who brought him up.
Well, I'm just saying the Cowboys aren't a good culture for McMillan to go to. Who else? Let's move on. I don't want to talk about this guy anymore.
All right. Just going down the draft board. You want to talk about any tackles or?
Oh, I do have a take on tackles. Will Campbell, yeah.
Okay.
Will Campbell, I don't care what his arm size is. That guy's going to be good. I don't like this thing where he even said this in an interview. People brought up the concerns about his arm lengths. Apparently his arms are shorter than most tackles in the NFL because we all have like a base of what people expect. And he said, hey, for 4 years until I went to the combine and you got my measurements, no one gave a fuck about my arm size. Everybody was just like, you dominate the shit out of these people. And he's right. He's not wrong. Just because something is an inch off here or there doesn't mean
I feel like some people say it because of the arm length, but some people have actually gone back to the tape and said that the tape isn't as good as it was made out to be.
Yes, but I feel like this is the problem with draft analysis now. Everything is so heightened. And also,
at this point,
the process
we're in the
longer.
Process by analysis stage, so.
Well, also, the process is so long because the draft, you stop. Most of these kids stop playing football in December. Unless you're a playoff
team. The draft used to be back in March, so basically we're getting like an extra month.
Yeah, an extra month to pick out flaws of people, because that's all that we're doing at this point. We're not looking at this point in prep. You're not looking at film and saying, "Oh, wait a minute, this guy is quicker," because you notice that right away. So it's like now anything you learn about a player on film is going to be just negatives, I think. So that's my take. Don't worry about his arm size. He's not going to get past the Patriots, I don't think. And if he does, I think the Raiders should take him. I think the Bears should take him.
On the off chance that either the Browns or the Giants draft Shadur, I guess there's a chance that he falls, but that would probably be the only way that he does fall. Unless the Patriots do find some way to drop down and take him later, but
I don't think there's going to be a lot of trade ups or trade downs.
Yeah,
unless it's
people,
for the quarterback
like
because
to talk about that. But
it's
the thing is,
like,
yeah,
it's one of those drafts where the top 10, there's like four good players, and then the 5 through 15 is all the same, and then 15 through 40 is the same. So it's like not many people are going to be trying to trade up unless they're desperate for quarterbacks.
Yeah, or there's just a specific player that they're in love with, but
yeah, like
that they.
If the Bears do this, I'm going to lose.
But the Patriots probably
shit.
Would be too early for that trade down.
Yeah, but everybody has smoke around Astringenti to the Bears. But if the Bears trade up to like 5 or 6 for Astringenti, I'll lose my fucking shit. Stop it.
No, fuck it. Just trade for Bears. Trade up for Astringenti.
If you want a running back, stay at 10 and draft Omarion Hampton. I don't care. You can overdraft him. Draft Travion Henderson 10th. I don't give a fuck. Don't trade assets you don't have to draft a running back top 5. Because the cost to move up from 10 to 5 is bigger than it is to move up from like 10 to 9. Like, it's actually, there's a lot of cost in that for the NFL pick.
Yeah, and there's a whole like
the premium
chart.
Yeah,
it's, shit that I don't feel, I don't know.
And you're still a young team. You're not all set yet. If they came off the playoffs and they thought this was like the year of the peak, I get it then. But like, you got to build a team. Don't give up all your picks. You already traded like 3 picks for linemen. Calm down.
All right, do you got any takes on defensive tackles or defensive edges?
The one take I have is Shamir Stewart, the guy who went as the Texas A&M.
He has like 3 sacks.
Yeah, he has like 3 sacks total. I get it. I like in the NBA draft, I fell in love.
Wasn't Myles Garrett like a... I know, probably not as extreme case of...
That dude at least had like 5 to 6. Okay?
Yeah, I know. It wasn't as extreme a case as... Shamir Stewart. Yeah. But wasn't Myles Garrett also kind of like a traits over production guy? I know.
This is like the NBA draft where you fall in love with Dragan Bender because he's athletic and he can do all the things in theory, but then you get him and he sucks at everything. And all he has is the athleticism to go off of. And now you have to build a basketball player around it. So if he was like the 23rd pick, I get it. If he's a second rounder, I get it. If you're drafting top 10,
oh, he's not going top 10.
He could. Like, he has that hype to him.
Nah, he doesn't have that hype.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
He's like mid first round.
No. Multiple.
Most of the mock drafts I've seen, I'm telling you right now. He's like mid first round.
I'm telling you right now. Multiple top 10 teams have brought him for visits, including the Bears, including the, I believe,
I don't think
the Saints. The Saints brought him in.
I think they're just doing their due diligence on him, but
I don't think
he's going top 10, though.
He is one of those prospects you can fall in love with just because if you look at him, he's like, whoa, that guy's good. But I wouldn't draft him. If you only get 3 sacks, I don't care what – I know people don't understand. It's kind of hard in the NFL to understand defensive assignments. Maybe Mike Elko, the Texas A&M coach, dropped him in coverage for a play where he should have been used better and just rushed the passer. Maybe he had to set the edge and free up a blitzer to rush the passer. We don't know. That's a more football thing. But if you only get 3 sacks and you're that fucking good, and I know you're playing against SEC offensive linemen, but you had some games against Vanderbilt. Get some sacks, man. It's a red flag. I don't know. I wouldn't do it.
So is that the only take you have on any edges or...
I do like Nick Scroton from Texas A&M. He used to play at Purdue and then transferred last year. I think he's more of a low first, second, early second pick, but I like him a lot. He was the one on Texas A&M who got more sacks than Shamir Stewart. So maybe he was just freeing up the sacks for him, but I don't think that was the case. I like him a lot. The problem with the draft is there's a lot of good pass rushers, but none of them are great. And everybody loves pass rushers, so I feel like there's going to be a run on them from like 15 to 25.
Yeah, this is for this draft, if you need a pass rush or if you need a running back, this is definitely your draft. So I guess Tyler Warren, he's a beast. Pretty much like carried Penn State, like they pretty much just ran the offense through him. I feel like he's a beast. I know he's just not as good at the blocking stuff, but fuck blocking. Just
I kind of
ball
want
out.
Him. I kind of want him a lot.
I know,
but the thing is, he's not that fast. He looked fast in Big Ten because there's a. I don't know. I want to. I would. I wish we saw Tyler Warren play in the SEC because they're a little bit more of a faster league. The Big Ten is getting there, but it's still a little bit slower than the SEC. And I wish we could see that translate because I kind of want him on the Bears.
All right. Is that all you got on Tyler Warren?
Well, I feel like the Colston Loveland's going to be drafted higher than people think he is.
I'm pretty sure people said that, like, well, as long as Tyler Warren gets drafted, I guess 13 or higher, like, Colston Loveland's, like, floor is looks like it's probably going to be the Colts.
Yeah, speaking of Michigan players, because he went to Michigan, the one D end I forgot about is Mason Graham.
Oh, he's like a D tackle, but
well, same. But he's like the perfect, just you. He's not. He's like the. How do I phrase this? He's like the most boring, perfect draft pick for any of the teams in the top 10.
Yeah.
Because you just plug him in. It's not flashy. He's not going to get that many sacks. He's probably going to get like 5-6 a year, maybe, if that. But he's going to stop the run. He's going to be a decent pass rusher. And you're just going to be able to trust him to play for 7 to 8 years.
That's fair. Yeah, he's like kind of just like borderline like. From what I've heard, he's not like. He's like, not special enough to be considered a blue chipper, but he's so solid where it's like he's people like don't around, think he won't fail.
He's like the all-around. Like he's already hit his potential pretty much. He doesn't have that much upside, but he's good enough to just plug him and play him right now as a starter. And that says that means something because a lot of these guys, they'll have to come in. They're not instant starters. Abdul Carter obviously is, but like you can make a package for Shamir Store. You can make a package for Nick Scroton. You may not want to give him 50 snaps a game already at the start. Mason Graham, he's ready.
All right. So I guess we did touch a little bit on Ashton Jansen. I suppose you got anything else on him?
This is going to be a hot take. I'm a little worried about his workload in college if he's going to be a top 10 pick. Because they really did.
Yeah, they did. They ran the offense through him.
Yeah, they ran. And running backs, we all know this, as good as Todd Gurley is, dude hit the amount of carries he did, and he fell off quick. They have a shelf life. That's the thing.
But the special ones will last.
That's the thing that Todd Gurley was special. He was very special.
He also had some injury stuff coming in, though, too.
Well, the more wear and tear you put on your body, the more. Like, there's only one
Derrick Henry. Yeah, no, but I'm saying Todd Gurley did already have. Because he tore his ACL, like, right before he got to the league.
Yeah, but there's only one Derrick Henry for a reason. He's an outlier.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's the one thing Adrian that kind of worries about me. I would say, like, Amarian Hampton. Trayvon Henderson and Quentin Judkins. The one thing about Trayvon Henderson and Quinshon Judkins, they're kind of the same player. Trayvon has a little bit more speed. But the thing I like about that is Trayvon, he's always had his carries cut in half. And you could look at that as a bad thing and say he wasn't good enough to just take the starting job. But you got to realize he was at Ohio State. Yeah. He always had somebody good in the backfield to split time with him equally. And that limits his carries. He comes in with a little less wear and tear on his body. And he's really good, too. So.
Yeah, I guess you can kind of say the same thing about Amarion. They didn't really – he did have a good amount of carries last year, but this year the offense was basically him and no one else because the fucking QB room was ass. Didn't even know who our QB was. And our wide receivers were mid at best.
Well, now they have a coach, Jordan Hudson. Shout out Bill Belichick's girlfriend.
Nah, fuck that bitch. I'll say it. She is a little bit too involved. I'm kind of worried about that, but I will touch more on that.
They just got a transfer, a former Nebraska transfer that transferred to Missouri in the offseason. He started for Nebraska last year. He's all right. He's not the best. He got promised a starting job in Missouri. The Missouri was like, hey, you're not going to start. And then he transferred again. So. He would have started.
I don't want Nebraska's rejects.
He would have started again at Nebraska, but it wasn't one that everybody was like, "Oh, we should have paid $500,000 extra." No, he's a decent player.
I'm going with ass.
He's a decent player for North Carolina. He's going to start and he's going to be good.
We'll see. Belichick will coach these boys up. All right, I guess just going down. You got anything on Derek Harmon? Or nah? Nah. Not D tackles? Okay. How about Will Johnson?
I'm not
going
to lie, guys. I don't know who that is. Will Johnson? I feel like he's going to be drafted higher than people think he is because that guy is really good and corners are valuable. The only thing that is against him is that he's slow and he won't run a 40 because he's been hurt. And people already know he's slow. But he's one of those corners who are slow and still get the job done. He's got 4 years of tape about shutting down quality receivers. Like, think about all the Ohio State receivers that have came out. He shut them down year after year after year all his college career. So, I draft him.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd be that excited if the Bears drafted him, but they do need another corner, and I like the pick. That's how I base my opinions. If I'd be happy or if I'd be mad about if the Bears picked him.
What about Matthew Golden?
Oh, you know, I'm going to relate this back to Nebraska.
Of course.
He was recruited to Houston when Dana Holgorsen, the Huskers OC, was the head coach, and their wide receiver coach, their Nebraska's current receiver coach, Dakeel Shorts, was his recruiter of Houston. So he developed him, then he got a bag from Texas, and now look at him now. So what I'm saying, guys, watch out for future Husker receivers in the draft in a couple of years. They're gonna churn and burn them out. But Matthew Golden, I think he has the potential to be the best receiver in the draft. He's actually really good. I was impressed by him at Texas, especially with dealing with Quinn Ewers.
Yeah, I was gonna say, he did have Quinn Ewers
and
QB.
The myth of Arch Manning, who I believe is not that good, because I believe that he would be starting over Quinn Ewers.
I don't know. People are projecting to go number one next year, but I feel like that's more of a name thing.
People at this time of year last year, people were projecting Carson Beck to go number one. So you got to take it, and you got to give results. So
school shooter vibes.
But Matthew Golden's good. I like him. I don't know if I'd pick him top 10, but I like him.
Yeah, he's not really projected to go top 10, but he'll probably be like a mid to late first round pick.
He screams like Chiefs to me. I don't know why.
Because they like Texas wide receivers.
Yeah, not Isaiah Bond though.
They probably would have got Isaiah Bond if he got arrested after the draft.
They're going to draft him in the sixth round anyway.
Moving on,
they'll take a chance.
Colston Loveland, which it sounds like he's more just like, he's not quite the dynamic player that Tyler Warren is, but he kind of is. He's more like a Mason Graham, where he just does like everything well.
He reminds me,
he's like
a
minus to B plus at like everything, but
not like
elite.
He reminds me a little bit of Pat Freiermuth from the Steelers. They don't really use him in the passing game as much because their passing game is always garbage.
True.
Because they have garbage quarterbacks. But I feel like if you put Pat Freiermuth in like Ben Johnson's offense from last year, he would have put up solid numbers, and he kind of reminds me of that. You got to put him in the right system. He'll get like 6-7 touchdowns a year. He won't probably get you 1,000 yards, but he'll have like 500, 600, somewhere in that range, and have solid numbers.
All right.
He's a good late round fantasy option for your bench, I think, in the future.
I think he's that guy.
Depending on how deep the league is.
To be fair, tight ends, if you don't get like a top 3 to 5 tight end, it's usually a crapshoot after that anyway.
Yeah, he's one of those. I don't know if he's going to be top 3 to 5. I don't know if he's going to the next Travis Kelce or anything, but I feel like he's going to have a solid 7-year career of solid production.
You know, I'm sure we'll probably have like a fantasy football pod in the fall. I usually try to at least like create like a... I should usually at least try to create my list of like players that I will draft, players that I won't. But that'd be something fun that we could do. Do like our list of players that we want, players that we just won't draft.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm down.
All right. Broncos. Omarion Hampton. I don't know if I want another.
People are saying
North Carolina
that's
QB
the,
going to the Broncos.
People are saying that's like the floor for Omarion Hampton, so people are locking that in, basically. Yeah. But I think, here's my take, guys. He's going to be gone by then. I don't know if the Broncos trade up, but he's going to be gone by then.
And I am perfectly fine with that. I love that guy. I will die for him because he was the only good thing about North Carolina this year. The rest of that team can burn an L, but I love him. And he's a beast. Put up 5 TDs on Florida State. Granted, I know that's not really saying much because Florida State was ass this year. But
prayers go out to Florida State.
He still carried North Carolina on his back.
Why are we talking about Omarion Hampton again?
Because he was the next person on the mock draft, and I love him. And again, he was the only good thing about North Carolina. Shout out to Omarion Hampton. And you know what? While we're here, shout out Drake May, too, because he was also put in a shitty situation.
Last year's draft. We're talking about this year's draft.
I know, but North Carolina is a shitty program, and Bill Belichick, please turn
it around. He went there.
What?
He chose to go there. It's like getting mad at Dylan Raiola for having stunted development. He chose to go to Nebraska. He could have gone to Georgia. It's like,
listen, the last couple of years, the Mac Brown thing just was overdue. And
he chose to go there. That's not on him.
I know. Well, that is on him. Well, the thing is, like, I felt like Mac Brown was just living off reputation at this point. He was pulling his Doc Rivers.
Of course he was.
He was pulling his Doc Rivers.
He was pulling his Doc Rivers the last couple of years at Texas. I don't know why the hell they hired him, but I also don't know why the hell they hired Bill Belichick to coach the team with his girlfriend. I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like North Carolina might just be a program that likes to draft big names that
I also
might not
don't know why
anymore.
They didn't fire Hubert Davis, but I don't. Their athletic department makes no sense.
Yeah, it's not looking good for the school right now. But
also, why? Sidebar: we don't have to go in depth about this at all because I don't want to talk about it because it's not the podcast for it. How the fuck? Where the fuck is Creighton getting all their NIL money from? They have like a top 10 transfer class and about to be like top 3 if they land their. Mind somebody else from Howard University.
I don't.
Bro, they.
Well, I haven't paid attention to the transfer.
They are stacked. They're like. It's like, whoa. But move on.
Well, to be fair, Omaha Loki has like a lot. Well.
I guess it is.
Omaha Loki does have a lot of money. They just don't really spend it, but.
It's the only program that people can actually devote money to.
But I also don't think that. Well, I don't know. I feel like a lot of people that go to Creighton, I don't know if they. I feel like they don't stay in Omaha, but maybe they might.
They still care about the school. Yeah. But neither here nor there. Tell me in the next, like, what are we talking about?
All right. He was going to knock Jackson Dart and Shadur out.
Yeah, we can wrap up on how.
Yeah, let's see.
We can wrap up on the draft. We'll do this. We'll wrap up on the quarterbacks, and then we'll each give one sleeper pick that doesn't have to be a first rounder that you know of.
There's
some research while I'm talking because I know you're going to need help with this.
Okay, there's two. Before we do the quarterbacks, there's two players I want to talk about. Mecca Buka. A high state receiver, solid. I feel like he'll be like a Jackson Smith and Jigba, just like solid, like slot receiver.
You're saying that because he went to Ohio State.
No, I'm not just saying that. But Ohio State, they do produce good receivers.
I feel like he's just solid. I'm not saying he's bad. I'm not saying he's good. I'm saying he has been in that. He's been overshadowed by like Marvin Harrison Jr. Don't say his dad's name.
What? I don't know.
You don't know that.
Well, I know. I don't know if he's actually convicted.
Do some research.
Was he convicted?
Don't say his name. Why are you always worried about conviction? You need to listen to Bomani Jones. Don't say his name.
All right.
He talks about that all the time.
I don't care.
You should. You don't say his name. He'll come and get you.
I haven't done enough research to care.
You should. It's a funny story. But, well, it's not funny, but it's like. But he's been overshadowed by like Chris Olave. I feel like he was there with Chris Olave, wasn't he? Wasn't he like a freshman?
Yeah,
Chris
probably
Olave
been like
there?
A younger.
Yeah, he was probably like a redshirt or something. But he's been there with some good Ohio State receivers, and
there's been some beasts there.
I feel like people just forget about him because he's been the second option now that Jeremiah Smith is there too, and I think he's gonna be a really good pro. I wouldn't draft him top 10. I wouldn't draft him top 15. But
oh, yeah. No, he's like a late first round, early second round pick.
If you get him in the second round, that's a steal.
Yeah, no. It's a good pick. Yeah, he'll be like a late first round, early second round pick. But, yeah, I definitely think he's solid. And then the other person I want to talk about, Nick Iwuemori, who I kind of hope the Ravens draft because I feel like Kyle Hamilton can just mold him into being the perfect safety. And I would love to see that combo because he's an athletic freak. And I think the Ravens would be a good system for him to just develop.
Please tell me who that is.
Safety for South Carolina. He basically has like blown out all. Basically, he's like the best athletic safety of all time. And he's like 6'3".
I would rather draft Xavier Watts.
Xavier Watts can get later. You can get like second or third round.
He'll be second round. He's a good player.
Well, I'm just saying for the Ravens. And I'm just saying Kyle Hamilton can mold him.
Can you get Lamar a receiver? Like, fuck. Get him someone
good. Yeah, this is not the draft for a receiver.
We just said draft Emeka Buka and just call it good.
I know. The thing is, like, he doesn't need another Emeka Buka. He needs, like, a true number one, though. That's
you
the problem.
You got to keep trying. You could be a number one and be drafted 22 overall.
You can, but that's rare. And to be fair, I felt like Justin Jefferson was way underdrafted. I felt like he wasn't that
you
much.
Could still be at number one, and not
I felt like he wasn't that much worse than Jamar. But because Jamar was there, people underrated Justin Jefferson.
Well, look what we were just saying about Emeka Buka. Maybe he's gonna come on and be like a superstar.
Never know. You know, maybe.
But quarterback time.
All right, yeah, let's finish up with the...
Give me your takes.
Jackson Dart. Sounds like he will probably need to sit for like a year. Kind of like Patrick Mahomes.
Here's my hot take. All of them should, even Cam Ward.
Well, to be fair, Tom Brady is like, all quarterbacks should sit their first year. They should not play. But we all just know that isn't reality at this point in the NFL. But I would kind of like seeing like the Raiders draft a QB and like develop them for a couple years. Like Tom Brady actually like put him through like the same kind of...
Okay, I'm like, with you on Milroe.
The same kind of mentorship that he was.
I'm with you on Milroe. Milroe at least has an... If you have a special trait...
Milroe is literally just an upside play.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. For a quarterback who sits, cool. For a quarterback you want to play right away, why would you draft Tyler Shaw? Or Tyler, whatever the fuck his name
Chuck.
Is. That dude's been playing college football for 8 fucking years. He's like 20. He's going to be a 20. He's going to be my age as a rookie.
Yeah, the problem is I'm more just worried about... For him, it's just like... How do I want to say this? I feel like he... Not concussion-wise, but just injury-wise in general. He might just be Tua. He might be drafting another Tua.
Maybe, but I wouldn't draft... I wouldn't draft any of the quarterbacks, even Shadur. Also, here's my Shadur take... I feel like if he doesn't go to the Giants,
yeah,
that dude could fall. He could fall, man. It could be iffy. He could fall.
But to be fair, Shadur did play behind a shitty offensive line.
Jalen Miller will be a first round pick.
Oh, why? Because he got drafted to the fucking draft lottery.
Yeah, I'm not. They know something. Okay, they don't do that unless they think you're going to be a first round pick. When Will Levis, they don't want a Will. They never want a Will Levis situation.
But it does happen.
It does.
Not Will Levis.
But I'm just saying, they know something.
And to be fair, Will Levis probably should have felt more.
I also think I know where it is.
What are you calling the Steelers?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's not really that much of a secret. I've heard that.
Well, that's my speculation.
I feel like everyone's heard that at some
point. But here's my other one.
Yeah, because Steelers don't have a second round pick, so.
Here's my other prediction, maybe. I don't know if they even have a first round pick, but they could trade up. The Rams.
The Rams do have a first round pick. That's the other speculation. First speculation is Steelers. Second has been the Rams, just because they haven't really committed to Stafford long term, and they do need someone. And then, I guess, Sean McVay can develop him. So, and if he can't develop under Sean McVay, then you're probably just ass.
Maybe.
I know you're not as big as Sean McVay as I am.
Look at Jared Goff. Jared Goff flourished in a different system than Sean McVay.
Because Jared Goff needs everything around him to be perfect for him to succeed. He has a great offensive line.
Okay, Nick, we've seen Sean McVay with 2 quarterbacks.
That's fair.
We've seen him with a borderline Pro Bowler and a borderline probable Hall of Famer. So can he really?
Matt Stafford is a Hall of Famer.
Yes, but can he? But he was. I know you don't think this, but he was tracking to be a Hall of Famer before he got there.
Oh yeah, no doubt. He was part of the Hall of Fame numbers.
Here's what I'm saying.
The championship just solidified it.
Here's what I'm saying, Nick. He's never proven himself to be able to develop quarterbacks, so why do we trust him? He stalled out Jared Goff.
Because I trust him as a coach.
He took over Jared Goff from a garbage, like John Fox-esque situation. He had Jeff Fisher, 8-8 man.
Shout out 50-50.
Yeah. But he took over Jared Goff. He rescued him from a very garbage situation and made him serviceable. But then he gets stunted, and he just couldn't get better. And then he was like, let me get Matt Stafford in here. And then they took off.
Yeah, but he went to the Lions where he was put in a great situation where he has a great offensive line and great skill players around him.
If the Rams pick Shadur Sanders or Jackson Dart or Tyler Slaw or Jalen Milroe, I don't give a fuck what his name is. It sucks. If they draft one of those guys and he makes them decent, but then they stall out. Yeah. And they have to go find the next Matt Stafford.
But it's like the next. It's a risk.
In 5 years, they have to sign Kyler Murray, who's somehow still in the league and watches film now, and now he's a borderline Hall of Famer, and then Sean McVay carries him to a ring. He can't develop quarterbacks. He can just trade for good ones. You never know.
To be fair, it's I don't know. It's hard to develop quarterbacks. You never really know how much the coach has to do with it and how much it's...
Well...
We just missed it.
Yeah, you're banking your whole college program on a quarterback who allegedly helped develop a quarterback.
Wait, what?
You're banking your whole future of your college program on a coach who allegedly developed a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Oh, you're talking about Belichick.
Yeah.
Okay. I see what you're saying now. Yeah, you did develop Brady.
You can't pick and choose.
I don't know. I'm just saying, I don't have the answer. You could argue both sides of it, but we'll see. All right. So what do you want to wrap up with for the draft?
I want one player lower on the board, who you think is going to be a sleeper, who you know from college football, who's not going to be drafted in the first round, or not maybe not even the second or third, who you think is going to be really good.
Ooh, I'm going to need to do some research, so I'll let you go first.
Okay. Give me Ty Robinson, defensive tackle from Nebraska. The only reason I'm saying this one is because I needed to do research, too, and I thought Nick would have one off the bat. I don't know why we don't rehearse this, but I do think Ty Robinson's going to be a stud, and I also think that he will be underdrafted because he is one of those sixth-year seniors. He's pretty old for a rookie. But I feel like defensive tackles have a short career anyway. They don't really – they go 5, 6, 7 years, and then you just get him – you sign him to one more contract extension, and you're good. And a team that gets him, he won't have 10 sacks a year. He'll be steady. He'll stop the run. He's going to have a 7-year career of solid production across the board. And then he's going to go be a doctor, and hopefully – when he makes a big salary, he's going to donate a lot of money to Nebraska, and we're going to sign big recruits.
Okay. So I still need to come up with one that probably won't get drafted.
You don't have to.
Oh,
No. I'm not saying don't get
not,
drafted.
Not to get not, drafted. All right. Get drafted.
Not
like
be in the first round.
Fuck it. Let's go with a... Wait. Give me 1 second. I am going to pick a running back since I went off NFL.
Oh, I have running back I want to talk about.
Oh, all right. Which running back?
I'm going to steal yours, maybe. Ollie Gordon, Oklahoma State. Dude's really good. He's going to be really good.
Oh, yeah, he was projected like – wasn't he like second preseason for Heisman or first?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, I think it was second, after Carson Beck.
Yeah, then Oklahoma State just went to shit. You get him away from Crazy Mike Gundy, and you put him in a good situation, he'll be really, really good. Draft him in fantasy next year.
Okay, so you know what? Who do I want to go with? Let's go with R.J. Harvey. I've heard pretty good things about him.
I have played no for like idea a lower. That is,
he played for UCF. Shout out your boy Scott Frost.
Oh, hey, Scott Frost, we won the crown. Fuck you.
I don't know what that is. Yes, I do know what that is, but I refuse to acknowledge that it exists. But, yeah, I'm going to go with R.J. Harvey. Sounds like he's a pretty fast, dynamic running back. Played for UCF, so played for a smaller program. But, you know what? I'll say he'll get his shot in the league. And, you know what? He's going to have a surprise fantasy season at the end of the year. He'll probably be one of those QBs, or not QBs, RBs, that plays behind a starting running back that gets injured and just goes off. That's my take.
Okay. What are we... I know you have some NBA tanks, so I'll let you get them off, and then we'll do our take the shot and get out of here.
All right. So, first off, I want to start off by saying the play-in is not the playoffs. I have heard people say that the playoffs have started. Talking about the play-in. The play-in is not the playoffs. I just need to establish that as a fact right now.
You know what, Nick? I'm going to interrupt you. This is the first time we agree solely on a take. I'm proud of you.
Yeah,
I agree. Fuck the play-in.
Yeah, the play-in's a money grab at this point, and it's not going away, but we play any two games for a reason. We don't need the play-in.
I was really worried you were going to sit here and have hard takes about the play-in, and I was going to have to bullshit my way through it, but I'm so glad you feel that way.
Well, I did also predict that the Dallas Mavericks would be the Sacramento Kings because the Kings are ass. And
had no idea that a game even happened because the play doesn't exist.
So. Yeah, I know you know that game happened.
I only know that, okay, I lied, guys. I only know that game happened because I saw today that the Kings mutually parted ways with their GM. So that's the only reason why I knew the Kings season was over.
Yeah, the Kings GM situation is a shit show, and we'll get into that on another day.
We don't have to. It's the Kings. They'll figure it out. They'll fire our GM again in 3 years.
Yeah, well, I feel like it's a little interesting. Nope. But we'll get into that another day. Nope. The next thing I wanted to address is the Memphis Grizzlies do need to win the play-in game on Friday to make it to the playoffs, because if they do not, things will not be looking good in Memphis next year. I definitely think if they don't make it, Ja will be, well, I don't know if he'll be traded right before next season, but he will probably be traded at some point before the season.
He's going to be traded anyway.
I think if they make the playoffs, they'll keep him. They'll keep him.
If they get knocked out in the first round?
Yeah.
Here's the thing.
Bro,
what's the difference?
Anyone that plays OKC is going to get their ass blown out. Like, I'm calling it right now. OKC's winning the first game by 20, at least.
But I'm saying, does Memphis strike you as a rational franchise?
They
fired the coach with 10 games remaining.
Yes, they were pretty stable for a while. Like, this is the aberration year that we've seen so far.
Yeah,
so,
and also, don't they seem tired of Josh shit?
To be fair, the recent grenade shit's been pretty funny.
Well, yeah, I know, but here's my thing.
To be fair, Ja also is the most popular athlete in the city by far, so trading, it's like, you might have another Luka situation on your hands. I know he's not as good as Luka, but in Memphis, like, he's by far the most popular athlete.
It would not be that situation. But here's my thing.
I know he's not as good as Luka, but I'm just saying the fans may react similar to how they're reacting with Luka.
Here's my thing. If you want to get on this podcast and talk into these mics about how the Sixers shouldn't have paid Joel Embiid, you got to say the same thing about Ja Morant. They got to sell high. Well, they're not even selling high, but they got to sell something before they get nothing for him.
You still got a little bit of time to figure it out.
Could have said that 3 years ago before Joel Embiid signed his max extension, but that's all I'll say.
They didn't figure it out, and now he's may never play again.
In retrospect, you're saying you're using your take in retrospect.
I've never been a Joel Embiid guy. Well, you brought him up again. That's your fault. All right. What else did I want to address? Now you made me lose my train of thought.
Say something and you can figure it out. This is just usually it's a no free ads podcast, but guys, if you're interested, go pick up your LeBron Barbie doll.
Oh my god. Okay, that was not what I wanted to address, but just going back to the plane. So the other one, Heat Hawks. Fuck the East. Both those teams should not make it.
I could say the same about the West too. I don't care about the eighth seed.
They'll take a game. They'll take a game from the Thunder.
Here is my take.
The Mavs probably will not.
Here's my take. If you can't make the play-in, done. You don't count. If you can't make the top six, you shouldn't be in the playoffs to begin with. Shorten the playoffs.
What, you want the playoffs to just be 1 through 6?
Yes.
Nah. 1 through 8 is fine. No. Plus, like, once we get the expansion teams, then it will just be be a perfect, 50-50.
There was one series in our lifetime where maybe there's two, but the one everybody knows is the Heat-Celtics one, where the Heat upset the Celtics 8-1. Usually the 8-1 matchup is garbage. Like, think about the West and facing OKC.
Nah, the 8-1 was Heat-Bucks.
Okay, still, same thing. It was only one time. Usually... Nine times out of ten, though, the 1-8 matchup.
Don't forget
the
We Believe Warriors.
9 times out of 10.
I know, but that's how it's supposed to be.
Okay, but the if
bro,
you
this
think
isn't
about
March Madness.
It, if you think about
this
it,
is not March Madness,
if
though.
If you think about it, Nick, the 1-6, it's probably gonna be the same way.
Yeah.
It's probably 9 times out of 10. The one seed's probably going to beat the 6 seed.
Listen, I'm fine with the playoff structure. I'm just saying we still need to play in tournament.
Here's why I'm saying. It makes teams care more throughout the season because you have to be in the top 6 or there's nothing. You can fuck around in the regular season. A lot of teams try to sprint for seeding.
It gives some of the bottom middle teams, like, more false hope.
Exactly.
At the end of the season.
Exactly. But
that's the one kind of good thing it's done.
If you're bunched up like the West was this year, you have teams duking it out to get that last spot.
Yeah.
Instead of
although the Suns kind of gave up on that final spot or trying for it.
The Suns are not an organization that counts. Okay, the Suns suck. No, gross. Don't even bring them up. Garbage, trash. Matt Ishbia, shut up. Stop talking to the media. He went on his end of season presser today. He's like, this season was embarrassing. We're going to win championships here. Shut the fuck up.
It wasn't as bad as Nico Harrison.
That's true. But you know why it was embarrassing, Matt? You. It's like that stupid meme.
Brad Beal, too. Brad Beal. You know, I'll say it. Brad Beal's a loser.
He
doesn't give a fuck.
He got injured.
He doesn't care. He
has injuries, too.
He's always injured. He's never not injured. He's been injured since he got in the league.
Are you going to say the same thing about Kawhi Leonard?
Because Kawhi didn't have the injuries till like 2017 or 2018.
I know, but he constantly gets
injured. Kawhi.
You just pick.
Kawhi's at the point of his career where he actually probably needs to be like on a games limit.
You just pick and choose who you like and who you don't like, and then if they get injured,
is that not sports?
I'm saying, but you have to be rational about it. It's not Brad Beal's fault that his leg's fucked up or his shoulders are fucked
up. But Brad Beal does not give a fuck.
How do you know that?
Bro, you're talking about people that don't care.
How do you know that?
That's just the things that he said. Like, have you ever seen...
You don't know that. I feel like he doesn't care.
No, I feel like...
You said you feel like he does. Do you know he doesn't?
All right, I'll be fair. I can't say for sure that I know that he doesn't care, but... Again, we're taking our shot. I don't think Brad Beal actually cares. Brad Beal literally only wanted to stay in Washington for the money. Once he got the money, he bounced.
Why are you pocket watching?
Bro, I'm not pocket. But I'm just saying, if you actually cared about your career, you actually wanted to do something with it, you probably wouldn't have stayed in Washington in the first place. You would have actually tried to go to a team that could win a championship.
That Supermax money was different back then, though.
I know
that was it's a lot, and it still is different. Like, yeah, look at
it's different, but but teams will be more selective with handing that out.
Okay, but look at someone who's on the cusp of signing.
Brad Beal said he was offended when Mike Budenholzer said that he could be a Drew Holiday type player. But Brad Beal was upset about that. He's a fucking loser. He shouldn't. Bro, Drew Holiday actually has won championships, though.
Okay, but you have to get in the mind of a competitor, Nick.
I don't think Bradley Beal's a competitor, though. That's the thing. I don't think he's a competitor.
Nick. Listen.
All right.
This is what Bradley Beal is thinking. He's got ego, right? He's a star.
Ego, but then he plays like ass.
Nick.
Bro, if you're a competitor, you would be a dog. You would actually try to fucking score. You would try to go. Bro. He's done nothing when KD's not been on the floor.
Stop. Let me explain it.
Explain your trash point.
Don't fucking interrupt me.
All right, go off.
He is a competitor because if you say that to somebody who's a competitor, he's thinking, I'm Brad fucking Beal. I'm not Drew Holiday. Don't tell me to take this role. I got this role. Would you want him to be complacent and be like, yeah, let me fit in. Let me just be Drew Holiday. Let me focus on defense and not score, blah, blah, blah. You're saying go to the hoop and score. He's trying to be a dog.
But if he's trying to be a dog, well, it hasn't been working out for him, so.
Okay.
He's not that guy. You're not that guy.
But if you're
I don't believe it. He's not a competitor.
Nick, take Brad Beal out of the situation. All right,
fine. Or maybe.
Take Brad Beal out of the situation and get someone. Let me just name a random player you like, okay? Let's think of. I gotta think of not a super, super.
It's like you trying to say, like, Ben Simmons is a competitor.
Ben Simmons has made a lot more money in my life than I will ever make, so.
Bro, Ben Simmons' contract is basically the Deshaun Watson contract.
No, you can't say that. Deshaun Watson is different. He's a nasty man. Ben Simmons doesn't have those.
He doesn't have the allegations, but they. What I'm saying is they got the contract and did absolutely nothing after.
Then you can say that about Bradley Beal and Ben Simmons. You can't say that about Nasty Man. He's incomparable. But I'm trying to think of somebody you actually like.
All right,
That's a star. I can't really like you like Jalen Brunson, don't you?
Yeah, sure.
And like Jalen Brunson has a ceiling, right?
But Jalen Brunson's a dog. He's actually a dog.
Oh my god! But if he had an off night and Tom Thibodeau went up to him and be like, "You need to be more like, I don't know, Shea Gildersalek. You need to be more like," I'm trying to think of a compare. Jamal Murray has a championship. Jalen Brunson doesn't. What do you think Jalen Brunson is going to say to Tom Thibodeau? Man, fuck you. I'm Jalen Brunson.
Be like, fuck you, then score 50, and not Brad Beal, fuck you, and score a point.
Well, you also have to realize if he was on the team without Devin Booker and KD, maybe he would have little. It's like the Chris Bosh.
But game. I'm saying he's had chances, especially when KD has been out, and then he's done nothing.
Book does dominate the ball, though, which is good because you don't want Brad Beal to do it. But what I'm saying, Nick, is
that I'm just saying Bradley Beal's been overrated his entire career.
I would rather that's what I'm saying.
Because even early in his career, he was made out to be like this great shooter. Like, yeah, he was good like percentage wise, but he didn't really take like that many threes. Like,
but that's what I'm saying. Your take is based off of it's just because you don't like Brad Beal.
I just think he's overrated.
If another player,
I don't like players that are made out to be stars when they are clearly not.
If Phil Jackson told Kobe to play more like.
Then Kobe would say, fuck you, and score 60.
That's what I'm saying, and you would like that.
But when has Brad Beal ever done that? That's my question.
Brad Beal can't do that.
I know, and that's the problem.
Melo just had something on his podcast about this. He went to Houston, right?
Yeah.
They told him, hey, BU, we think you're the missing piece.
But then, when he went to Houston, and he actually got there, then they basically told him he can't be him.
Yes, and then what did he say? He said, fuck that, that's stupid. And then he had the same reaction as Bradley Beal. Would you want him to be like, okay, let me just take threes and just become a three and D player?
But to be fair, at that point, Melo was like at a different point in his career.
So was Brad Beal.
Okay. All right, well, he needs to accept that lower role.
Well, yeah, but you can't, especially when Mike Booten. But if Mike Budenholzer's... If Mike Budenholzer would have said a different player than Andrew Holiday that he didn't coach, I think that's part of the problem too. Because you got to realize if Bill Belichick is like, hey man, be more like Tom Brady, you're like, you stop trying to recreate Tom. If Bill Belichick is like, hey man, be more like Aaron Rodgers, I think it kind of hits a little different. Because it's like, he's never going to replace that magic he had with Tom Brady, even if you try.
I'm just saying, not a dog. And then also,
why did we go off on Bradley Beal? See, this is where the podcast takes us, guys.
Because I had a quick take on it, then you wanted to elaborate on it. And then also, I want to say again, the Rush slander has gone too far. I feel like people are making a big deal because of the whole Malone and Calvin Booth firing, and Calvin Booth didn't want them to play Russ, and then. Apparently, Mike Malone was making Jalen Pickett look bad in practice. And, of course, the big T-Wolves-Nuggets game where Russ kind of fucked up and missed the layup and then fouled Nikhil Alexander-Walker. But Russ has played well this entire season. He's played well for the Nuggets. He's been there in a lot of crucial moments. I'm just saying, yes, he has had to play a lot of crunch time minutes because they've had injuries with Jamal and Aaron Gordon. In the playoffs, he will not be playing as many crunch time minutes, hopefully, assuming that Jamal and Aaron Gordon are able to stay healthy. And even when he was playing, he has been successful with the Nuggets, and he's helped them win a lot of games. Like, the slander's gone too far, and I'm fucking mad about it.
I would agree, because I love Russ Westbrook, and I think the slander is stupid.
I feel like people forget who Russell Westbrook was. Like,
but
Russell Westbrook's... Okay, Russell... just to bring it back to Bradley Beal a little bit, they brought Russell Westbrook into Washington to teach Bradley Beal how to be a winner.
Yeah, but it didn't
work. It didn't. That should say something.
But also, well, it also was the start of Russ's decline. And you can't sit. I love
but
Russ.
But Russ, like Melo, he's like when Melo was like playing for like the Trailblazers and the Lakers, like. Melo was still like one of the most respected players in the league. Like Russ is kind of at that point in his career. Like, Brad yes, Bill's he's not respected. A superstar anymore, but he's by far one of the most respected players in the league.
The players
for what
on the
he's
team
done.
Like Brad Beal. They don't not like him.
I'm not saying that they don't like him. I'm just saying.
But it was the you can't. I love Russ. You know Russ is like my second favorite player in the league.
No,
it's like Book and
Jokic
Russ.
Is like literally the one player that Jokic actually spoke up for and like wanted the Nuggets to get was Russell Westbrook.
Yes, Nick, but you can't sit here and act like he didn't decline.
Oh, I'm not saying. Oh, you're saying, no, I know he. I know he has declined, but I'm just saying.
That was like your, he has played.
He has played well this year, and he has helped them win a lot of games.
That was your Wizards take. I feel like if you put Prime Russ, like when he was doing his triple double thing with the Sixers or with OKC, if you put him on the Wizards with Brad Beal, they would have been good. If you put Prime Russ on
Westbrook, did take the Wizards to the playoffs.
If you put Prime Russ on, didn't Russ play for the Rockets once?
Yes.
Like that, I can't even remember.
He did play for the Rockets, and I can't take him to the playoffs.
I can't remember him in a Rockets uniform for the life of me. I don't know why. If you put Prime Russ on the Lakers with that Lakers team, they would have been a lot better than they were. It's just like he declined a little bit. And the slander is out of control because he's still a valuable player. But people just want to jump down his throat because it's the narrative. So it's just like Brad Beal. The narrative is he's a loser. He's not a competitor. So when he goes out there and that whole team sucks, like that's going to enhance the narrative. It's like people saying that KD is just a negative person who just creates a terrible culture. Like when they suck, people are going to be reinforced by that narrative. When they think he's good, people are going to be like, oh, KD's great.
At some point, he literally hasn't made the second round since 2019. Yes, I know. Two of those playoffs he did not play in, but at some point you have to be responsible for how your teams perform.
But at what point does that stop? Because
at some point it has to reflect back on him. At this point he might be aging out of it. He might not be able to take control. But
at what point in this situation
the Nets thing was kind of on. He chose to align himself with Kyrie, which I would not have done personally.
True.
Kyrie has been a outstanding citizen in the past.
True,
years.
But you also got to realize they were one smaller.
They were basically a James Harden hamstring away, like him not injuring that hamstring away from like winning a championship.
Well, also, like one shoe size smaller because wasn't his toe on the line, and they called it a two. And
yeah, Katie did say that he thinks that they probably wouldn't have won the championship even if he did make that shot, just because they were so tired at the end of that Bucks series. But
I mean,
if
had James Harden, Kyrie Irving, and Kevin Durant.
Yeah, but
Williams,
Kyrie injured his ankle, and then Harden was literally like limping on his hamstring
again.
I think at that point, James Harden and KD were both still good enough. If those two were healthy with the rest of that team, I think that if James Harden's hamstring was not hurt, I definitely think that they could have won the championship that year.
Yes, but with all these players, it's like LeBron changed. I know we don't have to read that everything back to LeBron. I'm not trying to, but LeBron changed the game on how these older players have responsibility on their shoulders. If you think about it, how old is Brad Beal?
Fuck, he's got to be like lower 30s.
Yeah, but even as like a lower 30, that you kind of start transitioning out of like being the dog on the team, being the number one. Like Kevin Durant should not. In theory, should not be the number one on the team. That should be Devin Booker's role.
Brad Beal's 31.
Okay, so he's kind of like in that range where he'd be aging out of it. But so is Russ. So is KD. So is, in theory, Kawhi, even though he's not. James Harden, even though he's not. So LeBron kind of started changing the game on that.
James Harden's kind of got to the point where he's like a number two, number three. Just depending on your team.
But I feel like if you put him on the Wizards, he'd score 40 a game.
Well, yeah.
Not like...
But they wouldn't make it to the playoffs, though.
Yeah, in the East, maybe the 8th seed, but like they wouldn't be good.
Well, only because he's fucking playing the Hawks and
But yeah,
the Bulls.
So the game's changed on the responsibility you have to take as like an older player, I think. But I feel like a lot of players can't be the Kevin Durant, the Kawhi, the LeBrons that keep doing it when they're 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40.
Yeah, the thing is, I think Kawhi can do it, but... He's gonna have to be like on a game's limit, like for the rest of his group. Like, I will bring it back to Joel Embiid. If Joel Embiid is able to do it, he's gonna have to be on some sort of game's like limit.
Well, that goes back to
the thing is, I don't think he'll ever be healthy enough to actually do that. But if some miracle or somehow he's able to do it, that would be the way.
But here's the thing, Nick. Would you take one championship for 4 bad years, or would you take sustained success and no championships?
I would take the sustained success and no championships. I feel like sustained success is a little underrated.
You say that until you become like the Bills, and every year you have a heartbreaking playoff loss.
Well, you could be the Kings, and you make it to the playoffs one year, and you think you're that team.
Again,
but you're not.
Yes, you could. But you could also
you could be the T-Wolves until
you, have to
you got
like
AE to save your franchise.
You don't have to be like that.
It can go that way, though.
I know it can, but you can also be like the Heat, and you can always like have these ebbs and flows of success, but always
but
be
you're
average.
Always. But I'd rather always at least be in the mix.
Well, yes, but you're a dog. Don't you want all the championships in the world? Like,
yeah, but you only have one.
But okay, I'm a Cubs fan, right? We had a streak. We had the big major 108-year streak, right? From 2015 to 2021.
Yeah, I'd rather go. I'm not taking 100 years of sucking to one championship where I could have like sustained success and be in the mix every year, and then just hoping that it breaks well one year and you get lucky.
Well, they've been kind of sustained success because they just every team has to go low and then come high again. It's in that cycle. They're kind of like they dip for a while, but now they're back up. But it's like in that
not
stretch,
every team could be the Lakers.
I'm saying, well, the Lakers always like they always have some. They have Nico Harrison trading him Luka for fucking no reason whatsoever. Okay, they're just the Lakers. That's why I tell you. That's why you have so many stupid debates about Rob Pelinka and how he's got to sack up. And I'm saying the Lakers are different. They're the one team in that league that are different. They don't play by the rules. They're the Lakers. And it always works out their way, even when they're dumb and do everything wrong. Look at LeBron. He bailed him out. And then Nico bailed out LeBron by sending him Luka. It's just it always works out. It always does. And it's going to after LeBron retires and you have your team back and you can support Luka and love him to death. They're going to get a second star for no fucking reason. It's
probably
going to be on
the cheap. I have to like Luka, but I guess that's a thing.
Yes, but the Lakers are different. I don't know. What was your NBA? Take your shot.
That was my last thing. I'm tired of the Rustlander.
Okay. You know what I'm tired of? I'm going to take my shot first. I'll give you time to think of your shot. And you're going to disagree with this because you're like a tech boy. Kind of. Guys, this is some advice, too.
I feel like I know where you're going with this.
Stop. There's some things in the world that AI impacts goodly. I know goodly is not a word, but we're just going to say goodly.
More positively.
Yes. AI could have helped me with that, probably, and that would have been a good thing. Y'all, if you have an email to send to a job person and you have to put it in ChatGPT to make it look great or whatever, all by all means, do it. Guys, stop going to ChatGPT for every fucking thing you have to write. Kids in school, don't make ChatGPT write your papers. Stop it. You don't have to respond to every team's message with a ChatGPT message. Just be yourself. Stop it. Shout out you, Jody Newell. I know your ass. Every time you had to respond to something serious on Teams, I know your ass put that shit in ChatGPT and said expand to make it look fancier than it was. Stop doing that, guys. You're not smart. It's not helping you. Whatever happened, I know I'm like old man that yells at clouds. Right? I swear, if you ChatGPT your stupid articles on Substack,
which, by the way, guys,
you need to go look at the Substack. He's doing some quality writing.
Yeah, I
but
do
if you ever
publish that,
if you one. Ever write your articles with ChatGPT, I will tell the podcast listeners to stop looking at that shit because that is garbage. Stop doing that. I know it's easy, guys.
All right, let me go off on a little tech
rant. You have the ability to write and be a human. If you know there's people that use
ChatGPT should be, or any other AI software, it should just be used as a tool to enhance what you're doing.
Dude,
you shouldn't have it do everything for you.
There is people who use ChatGPT to respond on dating apps. You have lost the plot if you're doing that shit. If you can't riz up somebody with your natural abilities, what the fuck do you think you're going to do on a date when you're in front of these people and they realize you're a dumbass?
Nah, that point's a numbers game.
That is true. That's like any other dating app, but still, what the fuck are you doing, man? Just be yourself. If if you start texting me some AI ass voice, I'm gonna be like, what the fuck?
I want to start doing that for fun.
That's gonna piss me off. I know. I'm gonna get some complete sentences text, like Magic Johnson tweets, basically.
Yeah. Oh god.
Okay, guys, you're better than this. Don't rely on ChatGPT for everything. You gotta respond to a work email using ChatGPT. Good, do it. If it's a sales template type thing, use it. Cool. You can do better.
Remember how Magic Johnson said that he quit the Lakers so he could tweet again?
Yeah. Also, shout out Magic Johnson. I know you hate him for no reason, but...
Oh, it's for Valerie. Bro, okay, well...
No, we don't have to do this. We don't.
Let me go off. Well, he also traded Zubac for a happy bag of chips and a Mountain Dew, and I still hate him for that.
To be fair, no one really saw this level of...
He was solid.
No one saw this level. Oh, yeah,
no, we didn't see this level. I'm just saying, we literally gave him away for nothing.
Sometimes that happens.
It didn't have to happen.
Yeah, but I feel like those fringe roster players, like...
Well, no, but the thing is, like, I actually thought Zubac was he was, like, a good backup, like, and we could have developed him.
He's a backup. And again, it's the Lakers.
I thought we could have developed Lakers, him. It's the
Lakers, man. You don't spend time doing that.
But I know what you're saying, but still, I hate just giving away players like that. We could have actually gotten something. But the thing is, we actually could have...
That's because you would have rather kept...
But if we traded for him, we actually could have gotten something for him. We could have gotten way more than we got for
But
him.
You would have rather kept Brandon Ingram and Josh Hart and everybody else for...
We could trade him. I was more just the Lonzo Ball. I like Lonzo. And also, I like Lonzo,
how the fuck would have that worked out for you? Not good.
Probably not, because Lonzo's knees were exactly. fucked, but...
And Josh Hart would not be as good as he is if he stayed with the Lakers.
No. I'm just saying that it was a fun team. It was a fun team personality-wise, and Magic had to go in there and ruin that, too. But I will take my shot, and I will say running backs will be back, and that Ashton Jeanty and Amara.
No, go out. Oh, wait. Come on. You already took that shot earlier.
Oh, God.
Okay. Do another shot. I gave you so much time to I filibustered so much time.
Okay, that's what I was planning on doing for my shot, and I wasn't sure if you're going to let me do
No. We got to go unique, okay?
All right.
I was going to get on you for this. I don't think I talked about this on the last podcast, but the one podcast you were shitting on Braun for, I did go to the end, and you said, Alex is going to get mad at me for not taking a shot, but I don't really have a shot. And you're right. Take a damn shot, man. It's the point of the podcast.
Wait, let me ask. Did you actually listen to that whole podcast, or did you just, like, go to the end after the Braun part?
I went to the end. It pissed me off, so I was like, I'm not listening. I told you, I'm better.
Bro, I didn't even go off on Braun for that long. There was other stuff in there.
I told you, I'm better at my life now. It, like, if something's going poorly, I turn that shit off. I don't need to be, or I change channels. I stop listening. If something's going to piss me off, nah, it's out of my life.
All
right. Unless it's like a Nebraska game, a Bears game, possibly a Cubs game. But if it's like a 12-3 in the seventh inning, I'm not watching that shit. So, you know.
Well, I guess I was thinking about this earlier. I don't know if this will kind of... Well, this will kind of count as a shot because you probably won't be able to tell the difference, but... Luffy going up against Kizaru at the end of episode 124 of One Piece, or 125, whatever episode that was, the most recent episode.
I don't care. I mean, I care, but like you can go. I don't have any opinions on this.
Yeah, that's why I chose it, because I know you would not care, have, like, any opinions on it, but that scene just gave me chills, because Kizaru was, like, the one guy who, like, Luffy's like, oh, fuck, I can't fight this guy right now, like, everyone, like, leave, and now he came back and is about to kick his ass, and I'm happy about that, and yes, that scene gave me chills, and Egghead will be in S-tier arc in anime, and you know what? I'll take my shot and I'll say Egghead will be a top 10 arc in anime of all time. That's my shot.
All right, that is cool. So
actually, yeah, Sam, go listen to this part, because I know you can relate to that. I'll make you subscribe to the
podcast. You're talking about Samuel Rowe?
Yeah.
Hey Sam, I'm gonna text you this link after Nick uploads it.
I'll make sure he subs on Saturday for sure when we see him.
You better get ready for that tequila too.
Yeah, Sam, you better not flake. Otherwise, I'll kill you.
50-50 shot. I'm not going to say any more because he'll get mad at me. But okay. What is our... We're recording on Easter Sunday, correct?
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
For all you, Easter. Yeah, I guess so. For all you Easter celebrator people, we have a gift for
Happy
you.
Happy Easter. Praise Jesus.
Yeah, we'll probably talk more about the NBA. Try not to talk about Bradley Beal or Joel Embiid or any other things that we fight about.
I probably will not be talking Easter either.
Yeah, I won't be either.
You know what? Can I take another shot? Easter, trash ass holiday.
We can talk about that on Easter. We can shit on Easter on Easter. Okay? But we're going to talk on Sunday, and then I don't know if we agree to this, but are we doing a draft recap on Thursday, a first round recap on Thursday?
I don't know if we can do that. If we push it to Friday, we could.
I don't know. It's tough because that's my grandma's funeral, so I don't know. We don't have.
Why don't we just start like during the draft?
Yeah.
We'll just give our takes as it's going.
As long as I can watch Pick 10.
We have to give it. Yeah, it's fine.
Okay. If you want to start and I'm talking, we have like the Mina Kimes moment when I'm reacting to Pick 10, whichever way it goes. Probably good content, maybe, depending on
the shout out Mina Kimes. You are also one of those nerds who hate running backs, but you're still good at football takes, just not the running back ones.
I agree with her. But okay, yeah, we'll talk about the draft recap thing, but we're going to have some good takes for you on Sunday with the playoffs starting. You know what time it is, Nick? It's LeBron season. Zero Dark 30, lock in.
Oh, God.
Let's go, Lakers.
Is he still on that bullshit?
I don't know. Probably not, no. He gets back on that bullshit once like the Lakers go down by two games, and then he's like, he'll be on his Zero Dark 30.
Passive aggressive Instagram season.
Well, that depends if Fat Man likes to guard people, okay? That's what's going to make them good or bad.
Bro, we all know Luka sucks on defense. That's why we got to build everything else around him not playing defense.
Well, also Jaxson Hayes sucks, and I cannot believe. I know they tried.
They made him serviceable, which is much more than we could have asked before.
Honestly.
He went from unplayable to at least being, like, serviceable.
I know we can talk about this on Sunday, but here's this preview of one of my takes. J.J. Redick, good coach.
The reason why I said we should do it on Easter Sunday because I also forgot it was Easter, but I wanted him to react. He wanted to do it Saturday, but I wanted him to react to Bron
dunking on Rudy Gobert.
Sure.
Whatever. Oh yeah, that's gonna be hot. All right. Goodbye.
All right. See you guys later.